Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Dr. Ben Carson, I don't know if you saw him before. We've actually, you heard him on VFN Radio as we was at the prayer breakfast, the national prayer breakfast, and he began to speak just wisdom. And it's not the first time he's ever done it, but the way they covered it this time, it seemed like the first time he'd ever kind of done it.
Right.
But it's like, I mean, he's a brain surgeon. I guess it's going to take a brain surgeon to bring wisdom right here. But he's with Dr. James Robinson on Life Today, and he's doing an interview right here. But you got to hear Dr. Carson, and you can hear this in its entirety on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But listen, this is Dr. Ben Carson, and he's talking about his early experience, you know, as a young man, and how he was angry, and he felt like he had all these rights, but that's before he met God. Listen up.
You know, I was one of those people who thought they had a lot of rights. And the more rights you think you have, the more likely someone is to infringe upon them. And people were always infringing on my rights. And I remember once a fellow hit me with a pebble. It didn't hurt. But I was incensed that he would dare hit me. And I picked up a large rock, hurled it at his face, broke his glasses, almost put his eye out. Another fellow was trying to get me to wear to close my locker. I didn't want it closed. I struck him in the forehead with my fist, still had the lock in my hand, put a 3-inch gash in his forehead. My mother was trying to get me to wear something. I didn't want to wear it. Picked up a hammer, went to hit her in the head with it. And fortunately, my brother caught it from behind. You know, other than that, I was a pretty good kid. But, you know, when I was 14, you know, another youngster angered me, and I had a large camping knife called Camper. And I tried to stab him in the abdomen, and fortunately he had on a large metal belt buckle under his clothing. And the knife blade struck it with such force that it broke, and he fled in terror. But I was more horrified than he, and I locked myself in the bathroom, and I had turned things around academically by then. But I realized that with a temper like that, I would never realize my dream of becoming a physician. I knew my options were jail, reform school, or the grave. And none of those appealed to me. So I just said, Lord, you got to help me. I cannot control my temper. And I picked up the Bible and opened it to the book of Proverbs. And there are all these verses in there about fools. And it looked like they all described me. And then there were verses also about anger. For instance, Proverbs 19:19, there's no point getting an angry man out of trouble because he's just going to get right back in it. But encouraging verses like Proverbs 16:32, mightier is the man who can control his temper than the man who can conquer a city. Wow. And, you know, it spoke to me in a powerful way. And I realized while I was in that bathroom that to punch somebody, to kick down a door was not a sign of strength. It was a sign of weakness. It meant that you were easily manipulated by the environment and by other people, and that you were, of all people, the weakest if you were the angriest. And I also came to understand that if you can step out of the middle of the circle and not have everything be about you, then you won't be angry all the time. You know, people who are always angry are people who are selfish because it's always about them. Somebody did something to them. Somebody took their thing. Somebody's in their space. And if you can step out of that, you have great control. And when I came out of that bathroom after 3 hours, the temper was gone. I've never had another problem with it since that time. And some people say, well, you just learn how to hide it. But I got to tell you, when the Lord fixes it, he doesn't just paint it over. He fixes it from the inside. You know, my mother, if anybody should have felt like a victim, she was the one. You know, one of 24 children, getting married at age 13, trying to escape desperate poverty in rural Tennessee, moving to Detroit with my father, subsequently discovering that he was a bigamist, had another family, she only having a third grade education, and thrust upon her the responsibility of raising two sons in inner city Detroit. And yet, she would not allow herself to be a victim. She would work as hard as she needed to work. She did not want to be on welfare because she was observant and she noticed that no one she ever saw go on welfare came off of it and they didn't lead the kind of life that she wanted. She cleaned people's homes. She didn't resent that they had very nice homes, but she was observant. She said, why do they have very nice homes? Because they read, because they study, because they plan, they strategize. So one day she comes home, she turns off the TV and says, you guys are going to read books. Now, we weren't very happy about that, as you might imagine. In today's culture, we probably would have called the authorities on it. But, but you know, back in those days, you had to do what your parents told you to do. And but interestingly enough, after a while, I actually began to enjoy reading those books. And it was an escape for me, because I could be anybody. I could do anything. I began to know things that nobody else knew. It was very, very empowering. And I used to hate poverty before I started reading. But as I read more and more, particularly about successful people, I didn't hate poverty anymore, because I realized that I could change that. You know, if you can change something, it doesn't bother you nearly as much as if you think you're stuck. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in our nation today who think they're stuck. They're not stuck. There are opportunities, but they're not seeing them. And we have a system that says, there, there, you poor little thing, you can't do better, we'll take care of you. And it keeps them in that mindset. That is not a good place to be, I can tell you from experience. You know, a couple of points. First of all, I was doing an interview on NPR, and the correspondent said, Dr. Carson, I notice you don't talk about race very often. Why is that? And I said, it's because I'm a neurosurgeon. And she looked at me quite quizzically. What the heck does that have to do with it? And I said, you see, when I take someone to the operating room and I cut that scalp and I peel the skin back and I take off that bone flap and I open the dura, I'm operating on the thing that makes that person who they are. The cover doesn't make them who they are. It's the brain that makes them who they are. And when you're able to think deeply, you can see past superficial things, and you begin to understand what's truly important. And that's why you and I are in harmony. The cover doesn't mean anything. It's what's inside that makes all the difference in the world.
That's so important. You can catch this interview in its entirety, and that's the first of three parts that we'll have on VFN Radio. But go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. The flame on your right-hand side will take you to the light of what's going on. Dr. Ben Carson, just such great wisdom. You know, people look at people like Dr. Carson today, and as we're watching the shock on Pat's face, is they start thinking, well, he's just perfect. He has never had any issues. Listen, outside of God, we all have issues.
That's right.
And I think about T.D. Jakes when he used to say, Lord, help me from me. Forget about Satan.
If
you know, Satan's not pulling my strings, something else is, you know, help me, God. And I kind of forget how you said it, but understanding that it wasn't until he found God that he was able to begin to deal with these things in his life. And he realized the very things that were being promulgated upon him was the things that he hated, but he didn't hate it anymore. He realized that I'm not stuck here. And where we presently are, we're not stuck here. We can decide, make different decisions in our life to come out of where we are. And it's just so encouraging to hear. And the sad thing about it is, you know, he spoke truth when he said, you know, those were the days that you had to do what your parents had to say. We probably would have called the law on him by then. Obviously, if he would swing a hammer at his mother, you know, as a rebellious child, that he would have used whatever necessary to get his way. And that's what's going on today.
Right.
And if your parents are disciplining you, you need to thank them for that. Mm-hmm. Thank them that they're willing to do what Dr. Carson's mother did for him, and lay down some guidelines and some rules and some boundaries. And if you're upset with them now, you know, for bringing discipline in your life, realize that in the future you won't be, because if you submit to that discipline, you know, godly type discipline, then you're going to be productive and healthy. But if they don't discipline you, these are the kids that come back and begin to hate their parents for not disciplining them. And it's like, my goodness. I used to say hate and resentment disguised as love. Hate and resentment disguised as love, because they need, that's, you know, train a child in the way they should go. You know, and it's, you know, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's purposeful. Mm-hmm. We got to learn to tell ourselves no. It's amazing how many people just can't, you know, don't have any self-discipline. and they have to have a taskmaster over them. Say, it's time to get up. Mm-hmm. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. And it's like, can't you just, you think about it, you know, as Christians, we are supposed to abide with the Lord and let him lead us gently with a sweet, soft voice of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't yell at us.
Mm-mm.
And there's times when he may rebuke us or something's happened. We just need to receive that. But the majority of the time, it's just gentle promptings from his Spirit. And you can't be rebellious and follow gentle promptings. If you have to be forced to do what's right, I mean, you're not right.
Right.
You know, and that would be prideful. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. I mean, think about how he's been transformed. We're going to hear a lot of great wisdom in these next two parts of those interviews. But make sure you can catch it and you can watch the whole segment with him and Dr. James Dobson. You can get to it on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.